Blog Talk Radio.
The Man Cave, by the way. Cannot say. It's a Shout Even Shy singing Word You Cannot Say, a poem that I wrote. Nice little ditty. Welcome to the Band Cave. It's Friday. Once a month, Steven 76 and I get together to talk about anything we want to. Hey, Steven, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm all right. There's not enough sports on TV. I'm having withdrawals. But
there's solutions.
What's that?
So there's solutions for that.
You know, I don't have cable.
So I was watching the whole old baseball games on YouTube.
You know, I should do. Yeah, it's the same thing, huh? You just don't look at the scores early. Yeah. Yeah, when you watch it, I mean, stream it live, you have the commercial break. Sometimes the recordings have the commercial time. You've got to wait, looking at nothing. But that's a good idea. So how do you like, you got your Guardian memorabilia?
No, I don't.
It just seems so wrong. It just seems so wrong. We're not going to ever hear the Indians won. I don't know.
Yeah. I know. I have my hand on my Cleveland Indians fleece right now that Kay bought me for Christmas.
Oh, really? Did Washington ever get a name? I think I should stick with the team from Washington.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they. I think it's a bunch of holy crap. I mean, you talk to Native Indians, they're proud to have a team named in their honor. It's not disrespectful, but it's kind of something thought it was.
Yeah, well, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, as I often do in some of my poems. But I see on the board that Sky is here. She's waiting to be let in.
Oh, you're right. I sit and look at the board. Sky.
Let me in to the man cave.
Hey, careful now. You got rules. So how are you, Sky?
Good, how are you?
I'm tired.
I got some live action sports today.
You got what?
Some live action sports today.
Really? What sport?
Mm-hmm. Sky went to a minor league baseball game today.
Oh. Just as good. There's just as many injections in those games as there are in the major league, I guess. I saw.
And my friend caught a ball.
Oh, really?
Oh, awesome.
I jumped away from it.
Oh, you'll never catch one doing that. He jumped away.
There were so many lefties batting, and we were on the receiving side of the lefties batting. And
the first base side, yeah.
And so we were in the prime zone for fly, for a fly out of bounds ball.
That's why a lot of people bring their mitts. Just for that reason.
Yes.
Gloves.
Bring your mitts and bring your wits. Or you'll
that's right.
They
don't keep your...
They were throwing them in the crowd, like, and some of them that they were like any hits that kind of went like pretty far or really went out of bounds. They would just throw the balls in the crowd, like they were really nice about it.
Cool. Sometimes the ball gets out of shape when they hit it so hard.
Oh, was that it? I thought they were just really nice. I mean, they put a lot of balls into the crowds when they were,
Yeah, probably more so than usual. But yes, you smack the ball, you smack the ball hard enough.
All the balls in my face.
Yeah.
Now, what about that film when he hit the ball and it took the casing off? Is that like a real thing that could happen?
The natural?
Not supposed to happen. Not supposed to happen. But
it's a good movie, though. This is
We actually had that. They had somebody hit and take part of the stitching off the ball to the third baseman.
And he probably, when that happened, the pitcher probably yelled, "You're killing me, Smalls! You're killing me!"
You got the lingo and everything.
And then the kid that he was yelling at probably started crying. And then, which in point, the other person then responded, "There's no crying in baseball!"
You're making up movies, Sky.
I know I am. I did it purposely. It was supposed to be me.
No crying in baseball.
Yeah. Well, don't tell that to Joey Cora, because I still remember him bawling his eyes out when the Cleveland Indians knocked him out of the playoffs.
They take it so personally. I think, baseball's a marathon. They start in the early spring and they go till fall, winter. It's a marathon. Well, we were sort of hoping somebody would show up. Hopefully they will. I'm watching the studio.
I'm going to drop a gif of one of the worst things that ever happened on a baseball field.
Sounds good.
I'm going to turn the hat on, remember it. I'm going to bring it down. Right?
Now, I'm gonna leave the studio for a second. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Okay. Let me get over here.
And even in slow mo too. Little Randy Johnson hungry for a chicken dinner, obviously.
I went bird hunting one day.
Yep.
That's cool pigeon. I wonder if that pigeon knows he's famous. There he is. Yeah. Bam. Damn. Just 101 mile an hour. Let's just say he has brake on the ball. So what is the up call?
Yeah, I think that's low and outside.
Low outside. Yeah, low. I mean, think of the catcher, the batter. What just happened?
Yeah.
You know, we had a dove fly into our plate window the other day, and I was happened to be in the kitchen, and I thought somebody threw something at the window. So I go out and I look, and there's a freaking chicken heart on the ground by the walkway that goes around the house. And I didn't see the pigeon at first, but that's what he was chasing. I went back out there again, and there was a pigeon, a dove, didn't make it. But that I'm wondering if that pigeon on Randy Johnson, maybe he was being stalked.
Maybe.
Because if you look at it, it looks like something else is flying by right after. Right? Where's that one? Maybe that's the film. Anyway. Oh, man. Who are they playing? Is that when he's with Seattle, or is that when he was with the Diamondbacks?
I think that's when he was with the Mariners, I believe.
Funny that. So, okay. All right, hopefully we'll go back to the studio. Okay, here's something. Bounce me out of the studio. What? Okay, I'll be back. This way. What about Deborah? I'm crippled. Come on. Yeah, studio. Yeah. I am. I'm looking pretty good. Yeah, we're doing our spring cleaning of the castle. Our room.
Okay.
You guys hear me okay? Because you guys
hear me horrible to me. There's a lot of startle in it.
Yeah. Okay, that was clear. I hear you clear now. So how's winter going? Where you at, Sky?
Oh my God! How do you know? Everybody at the baseball game was. We had like I had two coats on and three shirts, well, two shirts and a sweater and two coats and mittens, and I brought a scarf. It was so cold. It was ridiculous.
And you go away from the ball. That wasn't gonna hurt you.
I know. Oh my goodness, it really was so cold. Everybody was like, what's going on? And it's like almost May and it was so cold. And at my friend's house, it snowed. It snowed 4 days at their house this week, and they only live like 1 town away. It didn't snow in my town that I know of, but it could have. I don't know. I have been in my house. But, yeah, it has been – it's winter time. It's like a fake April.
I've only seen the highlights of one game that when it was snowing, Major League. Plus, there's more.
Yeah. It's been to quite a few games where it's snowing.
They're indoor, yeah, a lot of times.
Oh,
a lot of insurance. They have that one dome. I don't know if it's the Twins, if it's Minnesota, where the ceiling isn't really as high as the others because they've lost balls up there.
They had one home run. It went right over the backboard of the back steel.
A little, yeah. Well,
just like Merrill from Signs.
Yeah. That's a disturbing reality. But, hey, you know, they're talking about aliens making contact. What do you think?
What do I mean? Yeah, I'm hearing like other noises. I'm hearing some really weird feedback. Like, it sounds like what this looks like on the TV. That like a little static.
Yeah. So I heard
yeah.
another voice. Yeah. Well, since we are a poetry group, we'll wait another few minutes and see if our poet master will call in. I'm sure hoping so. We couldn't tell him, you know, we'd blow him a surprise. We're looking for the poet Wayne Gent to call in. Wayne's got quite a lifetime of achievements. Who's speaking? Right there.
That's
you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I used that. But,
wow. Sky, are you talking?
No, I'm on mute and I'm not talking.
Yeah. I wonder who that is. Well, who's bleeding? Somebody's bleeding over from catching somebody. Well, it's going to have to deal with him.
I think it's Devin or son.
Huh. Well, I'm not going to leave the studio, so I can't load anything. If you want to share something.
Up something. You want to read it?
Oh, can you make out what they're saying?
I think the voice is very distinct, and it was Deb. I think they got the radio on too.
Oh, she said she put it on mute. Oh, there it goes. There. She's on mute. Thank you.
I took the liberty of muting her in the studio.
Oh, thank you. I should have known to do that. That's what it was.
Right.
Okay. That's better.
You think she got surprised when she heard her phone saying muted?
Yeah. Never ends. So, Wayne, if you're listening, call in, buddy. Should have grabbed his home phone.
I'll see.
Maybe we have that.
No. I will.
Well, Sky. You want to share some of your work?
I'm dropping.
Yeah,
it on. There you go.
Now Sky's got. Is it tomorrow night?
Yeah, tomorrow night I have D&D, my bi-monthly show. I'm really excited. The excited's coming out, Stephen. Be prepared. we're going to be talking about the Bard, the class Bard. So there's lots of cool pictures, and there's a little info of what the Bard means to building, not only building a character, but what it means to kind of in your character view and how you act and how you relate to other characters. And there's some stuff there that you could read and be inspired by. So I hope, guys, at 8 p.m. I don't normally send out invites, but I did a few invites this time. So, yeah.
I won't be able to make it.
Yeah, right. You need to go on forward with our journey. Stephen, so the couple of things that you can do is you can do either a continuation story. So, like, Stephen has a story going on, and every time we do a D&D show, he continues the journey, the epic tale that he's telling from the viewpoint of his main character, and then he kind of bleeds in the other topics into his right. And then some people can just do like a one-off character, right? And then I also take just, if you want to take it by metaphor and just take the characteristics of the class and you want to make something different and creative to your own style but still in tribute to the topic, you can do that too. So even if you're not a storyteller, writer, when it comes to flash fiction, it's okay. You can take it at your own beat.
Now, professional writers, in order to plug a new show, they have to do that for characters, don't they? They're sort of autobiography for what character you're talking about and their interaction with others.
For the what?
I believe. Well, if you were to write a new if you were to write another Star Wars show, you would, and with new characters, you would have to sell them your bard for the character. How they interact with others, who they are, and so forth. I mean, you sort of can't invent on the so much on the way after you start the pilot. You have on the
it's important to stay true to characters if you're continuing on.
Yeah.
What I like about Stephen in the other installment, so he reaches back and refers to things, and I like when authors do that in general. So to be able to do that in that flash fiction poetry setting that Stephen's kind of doing, I think it's really cool because you can start to link, right, oh, yeah, that was that time he met, this guy or that guy or that's this guy and that. Oh, yeah. That's right. This is his mission. He needs to figure out what happened to his parents. You know, there's that journey that you could reflect on building the characters, and it's totally important to stay true to that character line as well. And, you know, if you have a chance, you should check out. I'm going to plug your thing for you, Stephen, because, you know, I know you're modest, but it's called Argo's Story. And, I mean, you have to be at least 10 in, yeah?
Tomorrow will be chapter 10.
Yeah. So,
plug your station where it's at. It's not on this.
Do what?
A slice of poetic life, is that what it is?
The show after Skies is Monday, the Mortuary of Shadows, and it's going to be a new month, so we will have our monthly visit with Edgar Allan Poe. And we were looking at the short story, Berenice. And we have quotes from that short story to write to. Check them out. That's
Berenice.
At 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, it has a lot to do with teeth.
Interesting. Yeah. And in your poetic slice of life, or a lot slice of poetic life, or what is it?
Poetic slice of life.
Poetic slice of life. So here on Blog Talk Radio. I didn't introduce. We're ATOV, a team of voices radio. We're a blog talk poetic site, writer site. Steven and I get to goof around once a month on Friday, and that's what we're doing right now, goofing around.
That's right.
Yeah, I think if Deborah makes it back, maybe we could. I wish I had Wayne's phone number. Call him from here. Hey, Wayne, this is your life.
I did bring you a tongue twister creative story because I know that you. You prefer that,
right? Oh. I prefer that.
I wouldn't say prefer, but whenever I bring those to you, you like them from me. So you're always like, is this an original story? So I brought you an original story, a little thing, and it has,
cool.
It's a little bit of a tongue twister because I know that whenever I call in shows that you're on, mm-hmm. that, you know, you're part of, I'm kind of like, all right, I'll bring in something tongue twisty.
Well, yeah, the reason I jump in when you do that.
Steven and I spent a lot of time together, so years anyway.
Well, you do so well at it that I remember the one time you made up a word. I do that, and characters, and the way you chronicalize in your brain these characters is amazing to me. You know, everybody in the interaction of characters, that's most outstanding. So it's all of deep respect for you when question you. I'm not trying to question. I think Deb thinks I'm harassing you.
No, I don't take it that way at all. It's good to know, definitely. But I brought you one. It's about a mouse who wanted to be a poet. So
okay.
It's called Minerva Strauss. I just came up with that name. So Minerva Strauss. Minerva Strauss was a poet mouse with 1950s jazz spectacles, a tipped pitch of rosette and black, but she often sat by a warm cuppa, watching the steam shadow dance. And with the tossing melange of potpourri scents, with a drifted like snowflakes and camouflage trance, she'd mull and brood, flummoxed by the lawn of lines that seemed to chortle and churlish grin, a blank, listless patch of tunnels that held quizzical skins. She could not help but think those stationed hollows, purposely nettled in foot, like a dither of dwaddling matter, refusing to speak. Minerva Strauss would ask those notebook papers, despite their silent tongue in cheek, how bottles burned shipless wreck, or how tossing waves met upon evergreen. But those slimy rapscallion leaves, they only stared, like those kind of questions were a twaddle of piffle, flangible and jar-goggled malarkey that might poison the mind. It cared not for the seemingly useless poetry and deemed its presence nugatory. So in short, for Minerva Strauss, the mouse who thought herself a poet, blew away that shadow steam and simply drank her tea and poem. So, not a poet after all.
Sometimes. It's just best to drink your tea.
Sometimes you just have to. Some mornings are just that way.
and you know what else it's good to do? After you piffle, you should excuse yourself.
I don't know. Oh, God.
I looked up the word piffle and it meant what did it mean here? Foolish talk.
Piffle. I know that Jay is gonna ask me. Okay. I still call you Jay Hatter. I'm sorry. The years I knew you before Hatter is still stuck in my brain. They're all real words. So I know you're going to ask me. So those are all real words.
Okay, good. Yeah, you don't go researching the words before you use them. You sort of already know it, right?
No, sometimes I don't. I don't know them all. I don't know them all. Sometimes I look for strange and unusual words. And, A, that's how I learn new words. And so I've done it for a long time now. I've always been a fan of Roald Dahl. I think Roald Dahl, his writing and creations are really brilliant. I like the fact that he, like, I started reading Roald Dahl. I think it was actually the first book that I read on my own was Fantastic Mr. Fox. And it was really what led me reading. And then directly after Fantastic Mr. Fox, I got a Brothers Grimm junior library. So between those two, and I think I was about in third grade is when I really started reading on my own. And it was because of those two books that I got. And so I've always really liked words that were funny. So over the years, if I'm writing something and I want it to be something, I do look up and I learn new things. And then a lot of times they'll stay with me. So then eventually I might say, oh, yeah, this is that word and this is this word. But I never stop looking up new words because I think that's the way to do it, to learn new things and slowly consume them so that you do have them. Because you don't just wake up one day and know things. You learn them. So, like, if someone, like, so many, like, a Donnybrook, I have one, a poem that I had, it almost started out a Donnybrook. I didn't know what that was when I found it, but I loved it. And today, years later, I know what it is. So, yes, I do know some that I can just pull out, but it's because I purposely have found them previously. So.
Have you ever, now AP and I, AP Taylor made sort of a dare to me years ago on the show to write the worst poem you can, the absolute worst, then also one that to create your own language in a poem. That was it sort of backfired. I did this one called it was God awful. It was God awful, and it ended up making the best score and was put on my best write according to allpoetry.com.
It's the generating of something unique. Yeah, definitely. I did this one. After, if everybody reads what they want to read and there's time for a second one, I'll bring you another one. It is a little bit more difficult for me to read because it's not actual words. It came from a word bank that someone did. And so some of the words are theirs, and then I got taken away with them making up their own words. I started to make up my own words in the poem too. And I did it was for a contest. And I just the words that she had put out, I just kind of made up my own meaning by the way that it sounded. And it was really fun too. And I don't usually bring that one because it's so silly. But if everybody has around and you guys want another poem, I will bring you that one and I'll do my best to read it. But it is fun to do that.
Yeah, that's what I was leading to see if you had ever done that, where make up your own words or write the worst poem you in history that you can. Just write. But be careful. It could end up being on your list of the best you've ever written. I had to take it down. I had to delete it off the site because I couldn't get it. It was considered best as far as – and, I mean, it was absolutely terrible. Terrible.
I think if you write in the view of like a children's poem, you could really get away with a lot. And I like to write children's poems. So if you're writing in the way of a children's genre, I really think that you can get away with a lot when it comes to creating made up words and
it's like Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss was a madman. I mean, you think it would be easy to do? It's not. It's not that easy. I love the Grinch Stole Christmas when he's Boris Karloff is
describing the band, what instruments they're playing, and then the roast beast.
There's another one. What is it called? It's by it's by Shel Silverstein. It's called the. I'm having blanking out. Hold on. Let me go look in my book section because I own it. And he made up all these pictures and animals, and they're completely nonsense. Oh, don't bump the glump. And other fantasy by Shel Silverstein. And he just literally free drew. He just drew random things and then started giving them random names and then wrote poems about them. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I Pitta-Patta-Moo, that was the name of my poem, Pitta-Patta-Moo. And I even spent quite a while trying to figure out what it's a verb, what is a descriptive adjective, and what are nouns. And whether I did a good job or not, well, apparently, according to the AP poetry, I did an excellent job. It's the best I ever done. But very nonsensical, and I tried to make it where it would ring in your ears. The structure, the cadence would be very not familiar, but it would be easy to digest in your ears, you know. And it was fun, like you said, it was fun to do. In fact, I made. If you remember, Boston used to call in. I used to love having Boston read my work. So Gressman, so I had to read it. She did fine. Gress was cracking up because I had cold salt water. And I said, hey, you want to read this? Yeah, sure. Good. Well, I'm here in the catalog of songs we have. You guys mind if I play a song?
No.
Not a really long one. Okay, where is it? Okay, there it is. Let's see if this works. The Beatles. That's Love Me Do by the Beatles, and great, and Paul vocal. Sort of inventive at the time, new rock. That was the English Invasion in the 60s. The Beatles. Right on.
I had that song on a 45, and on the flip side was P.S. I Love You.
P.S. I Love You. Yeah. Great. You still got that? You still got the 45?
If I do, it's probably warped in my mother's attic.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Yeah. When John Lennon was misquoted, and there was a anti-Beatle wave went through the country, and everybody was burning their Beatle memory. I don't know if it was Shea Stadium. Everybody got together to put all their Beatle memorabilia out, and they burned it. I wish they had that back now.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth some dollars. That was a shame. Yeah. Scott, you still with us?
Yes, I am. I was just like, and Stephen didn't get like a word in for like 20 minutes, so I was trying to let somebody else.
No. We need you. Stephen's going to stare at the walls that we just painted. How do you like the cave? How do you like the man cave? Not bad, huh?
Yeah,
got
it's
the
excellent.
Bar set up. Yeah. The stereo system.
Personally, the best thing I like about it is the posters.
Yep. Blacklight posters. I remember the scare of what black they were trying to sell you what black light would do to you. Don't look at the black light. Screw your DNA up.
I used to have black light.
Oh,
I used to have a black light,
and then I had like two lava lamps. I was like one of those people. So I had two lava lamps, a black light. My room was happening. You know, as a teenager.
You walk into a room and you see a lava lamp. You pretty much, I've got that person figured out who he is or who she is.
So
yeah,
you
got a lava lamp. I was really into Halloween when I was married during the 80s and 90s, and we would basically set our whole house up to be a haunted house except for the kitchen and living room. And I would start in September, early September, and start building. I was an electrician, so I had a master board with everything that we could work. We had fog machines, black lights, and as much glow-in-the-dark stuff as we could get. Because I had a 4-foot, 2-tube black light that would light up the block outside. So you can imagine what it would do in a room or in the house. Yeah, the spook houses. I had a back patio with a cover. I did some trippy stuff with chase lights down a hallway with the black light going and the chase lights. It was very, it would mess with your vertigo. If you chased it away from you, it would seem like it was just on and on and on. Chase it back is like you weren't going anywhere. I didn't realize. What was going to happen? I just had all these lights, these chase lights. So I made this hallway with the real thick black plastic and then a white glowing sheet over the top with the lights behind the sheet, and it was very trippy. I spent a lot. The thing was, she, my wife would go, "Well, are you going to take that down now? Can we take that down now at the outside?" We had to, of course, revert the house back to where normal, but I would have that spook house still up. Until Easter. He goes, come on, get it down. All right.
When I was growing up in my little harbor town on Lake Erie, there was just one place that none of us would go get candy from. I think they did it on purpose so they could have all the candy because the kids were all too afraid to go up there. And all they did was, the one time we got the balls to go up to the door, we knocked on the door. They had a strobe light going in the entry hall, and they would come around the corner wearing a sheet and the strobe making them look all freaky, you know, like they're moving slowly and gracefully like a ghost would. And before they even got 5 feet away from the door, we were running. We just couldn't do it.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, strobe lights are we had basically two runs for the little kids. We would run through and not get the scary stuff. But my older boy was seventh grade at the time. So we had these guys that showed up. They're supposed to show up in costume. They showed up, put a baseball hat on and a jersey, called themselves something, I'm Reggie Jackson. I'm like, oh, God, come on, really? Plus, you could hear them dissing the haunted house. Well, I had some stuff that would freak anybody out. And we'd send the kids through that. I'd love to go and describe the whole thing to you, but I got to do the end. As they are leaving the patio area, I had a buddy of mine that worked for the fire department with. And him and his wife were the mad scientist stuff, so he had the dry ice and everything. Then they would be issued out the gate, and they'd think they were done. As soon as they'd hit the gate, I'd slam it shut. We had another guy I worked for, the firefighter named Tate. He was about 6'3". He had a Jason mask on. We had throw on the strobe light, and he came out with a chainsaw with no chain, of course. But he'd got that chainsaw and chase it down the driveway, the long driveway, I'll tell you what. Yeah. That would get that got them all.
Yeah. And
Tate was great at it. That Jason mask.
Mm-hmm.
But I really miss that. I'm lucky that my wife was into Halloween too, because we spent thousands of dollars on it. You guys say something? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was going to say there was one more poem dropped in the folder for tonight, but maybe, even though I told the gentleman that you pretty much did have to call or leave an audio if you wanted to be read, but. It's Lockdown Larks, and he's pretty good. And I read the poem, and I thought it was pretty good, so I thought maybe I would read it for him. It's all right.
Please do. I got to stay in the studio. So you go ahead.
Okay. This is by Lockdown Larks, and it's called Bed Who Wins or Loses. His daughter is smiling, this Bedouin who gives trust. But she is just beguiling, so bed her I must. Fair lady, enchantment I see. Would you care to dance? Kind sir, you honor me. I'm grateful for a chance. Can we love forever and forget never? She moves with such grace, matching his swing and sway. And as they embrace, they merge into a ballet. She agrees to retire to passions of the night, fulfilling his every desire before he drifts into twilight. Can we love forever and forget never? Awakening to thoughts of bliss, he moves to caress, but no one there to kiss, looking around just emptiness. Outside, there is nothing, all possessions gone, even missing his gold ring, just clothes he has on. A love forever is now never. So abandon, he learns, is often the way to take what one yearns. There may be a price to pay. End poem.
So, the dance. Go ahead.
Yep.
I don't have it in front of me. Go ahead.
Well, I told him, sometimes you really got to be careful who you take home from the nightclub.
I'm
thankful that I'm far, far past that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Spawn?
Spawn? You say Spawn?
Oh, no, not Spawn. Not Spawn. Species.
Oh, no, but I've seen bits and pieces of it. I know what it's about.
What's the title again?
Species.
Oh, Species. Okay. Yeah, that's one I did. I've not watched. There's anything that came out in the 80s and 90s, some of the older classics I didn't ever see, maybe because I was a workaholic. I didn't have time to go to see to watch movies. Plus, the VCR thing didn't happen until, you know, what, early 80s.
Yeah.
Well, I thought this was a great piece, and Stephen, you want it wonderful. You read it wonderfully, and outside there's nothing. Your office has gone. You've been missing a full ring. So close as a. No, I think I'm way too paranoid of a person to ever do that, because I'd be worried about this exact thing happening. Like, you don't know who these strange people are you bring them back to your house. I don't think I could ever do that. I would have way too much anxiety. So this is definitely a good story that has a message in it that everybody should listen to. Don't take strangers home. You never know what's going to happen. The person's lucky they're still alive. Just saying.
It was also inspired by something called Peer Gynt's Anitra's Dance. I guess it's a ballet.
Hmm. I mean, it could have went like Total Praying Mantis, you know. You never, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
It could happen.
I got three cats living with me, and the more delicate one was chasing. It would look like a moth, I guess. I wasn't here, but Joy, my roommate, said that it was a baby praying mantis. And what it did is when Taser was pawing at it, you know, not killing it, but playing with it, it jumped on its it flew up and jumped on Taser's nose. She said you couldn't see a cat back up so fast in your life. Couldn't get us off. That's what the praying mantis does.
I like those things. Those things are awesome, praying mantises.
They are. There's a site on YouTube where this guy, he's in Australia, I bet. He has this terrarium, and he has a black widow spider, and he would introduce a big black widow spider, and he would introduce different predators. One was a praying mantis, and you see what would happen. I go, I bet on the praying mantis, right?
Yeah.
It was weird. It was strange. It was like that spider put that thing in a trance and walked around behind it and bit it. And the spider won. But he would introduce all sorts of critters together and see what would happen. It was interesting to see. I can't think of what she had something else. Anyway, I get on the show, my mind goes blank. I have all the stuff. Now, it looks like Wayne probably won't be calling in. I'm wondering if we said some of the things he's done in his life, we could get in trouble. We could do that, right? He wouldn't mind sharing.
I don't think he'd mind.
That would be good.
you should get Stephen to read Argo story chapter one. Put Stephen all on the spot there.
You know, that's
sorry,
not a bad idea. We could start
I'm
an ongoing story.
I'm Stephen's spokesperson for his Argo campaign.
You're the PR, huh? Public relations. Okay.
I'm trying to find you this praying mantis picture. I must have.
Oh yeah, the picture. Yeah, they're awesome, man. It's like
oh
a
here it is.
Yeah.
Now this may look like when you look at this picture up on the board, it may look like because there's nothing really to compare the size to it. It may look like I blew it up, but I didn't. This thing was, like, bigger than my hand. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I was scared.
Oh, yeah, they get really big.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. I had one land on my shoulder once and just stay on my shoulder while I was doing just stuff around the yard. It just stayed there.
Oh, my God. I would have freaked out.
Sizing you up. You know, they don't act like they fear. They don't have much fear. guess they're at the top chain of the food chain in the world. Well, there. I left the studio so I could see. There it is. Oh, a dark one. Soul Brother. It's a brother. That's a big one. Wow. Since I'm here, I'm going to go look for something. Sky, are you in the studio?
I'm logged into a team of voices, yeah, because I muted that, so I'm still...
That's cool. I'm not here. Just keep an eye on the studio for me while I go in search of real quick. It logs me out as far as the site when I do that, when I access poetry. I don't know why. Okay, link. Now search. I think it was called. Let's see if it pulls up. Okay, it's called Why Did She Name Me John? Let me put it up on the board for you. Here we are. Here we go. Okay, there it goes. So why did she name me John? I saw you standing on the corner, a gift from heaven, I thought you were. Leaning back against the lamppost, I thought I was quite sure. You seemed to be looking for someone. You asked if I was John. I paid for dinner and a show, and now I see you're gone. I checked my pants to get my keys. I must have dropped them where I can't see. I found my wallet was no longer there. I even checked my underwear. Nothing there, nothing there. I have to call my mother now to say that I was wrong. And if she knew about you and why she named me John. Because he's a John. Okay, I don't know why I wrote that, but I did. Yeah, that reminded me when you that poem you read earlier about the gold about his ring. This guy lost his keys and freaking his wallet. Okay.
You gotta call him John.
Well, yeah, Mom. Yeah, that's Mom. Why? If you knew about these ladies, why did you call me John?
I feel like you're gonna need to take some what is that, ashwagandha? What helps you with your memory? Is it ashwagandha? No, I don't know. But you need to take something. Why did you call me John? I checked my hands.
Yeah.
Must have dropped somewhere. I can't see. I found my wallet. It was no longer there. I even checked my underwear. Oh, my goodness.
Matter, it's a midnight, so I gotta cash in.
Midnight.
My chips. All
right. We'll share the poet Wayne Jen. I mean, some of the stuff he did. We would have gone to the moon without Wayne. Jen. And we could, if he was here, we'd be able to tell us how he created the guidance system for the ICBMs that NASA picked up. So he worked for the Naval Department too, or the Defense Department. Good going. Also the little rubber thing that when you inflate a ball, he invented that. I don't know what it's called.
I don't know what it's called either.
You know what? You wouldn't be playing sports without Wayne Gent. You couldn't blow up the balls. Have you ever seen Bob Uecker's induction into the Hall of Fame? Bob Uecker? It's hilarious. That man is absolutely hilarious. If you go on look at YouTube and put Bob Uecker in, he was on Johnny Carson more than anybody else. And Johnny Carson loved this guy. I guess it was... when Johnny would laugh hysterically, it was either two guys. It was Bob Bucher or Ain't Got No Respect. You can't get no respect. What's his name?
Well, I'm going to say goodnight. You guys can hang on the air if
okay.
you like, of course. But I'm going to head out.
Well, it's only an hour tonight, right? I had a fun time with you guys.
Yeah. Sky, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
And you're welcome in the man cave anytime. I'll give you a key before you leave.
All right.
I promise. All right, Steve, you want to plug your show one more time? What's going on?
Over at Aquatic Slice of Life, Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Mortuary of Shadows, Edgar Allan Poe. The short story, Berenice, quotes from it to write to. Check it out.
Yeah, they do a really good job. Take the time, check it out. Aquatic Slice of Life. Thank you, Sky. Thank you, Stephen. I'm going to play a song and the exit also. So thanks, guys.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Now, I am going, what I got to do is log back in. I don't know why it logs me out if I access my writing site. Logged out of Blog Talk, but easily fixed. I can get in there. I'm already logged in. Come on. There we go. And studio. There we go. Play one more song. We have a, there's a band called, come on, load up. There's a band called Shinedown out of Florida. And they kept the lead singer, fired everybody else, and they got a new band, basically. It has a great sound. And I'm going to try to find it. You got to go down to my file.
Night, Sky.
Night, take me over here. I should just play that beautiful song.
Yeah, that was Kay.
Oh, Kay. Kay.
Yeah.
Good night.
Just like
good
the night. Wind. Just like the wind. You can't always see it, but you know it's there.
She's like the wind.
Good night. Just like
good
the
night.
Wind. Good night, man.
Take it good easy.
Night. I'm at the scenes. Let's see. It's got to be. Oh, sorry. I'll see if I can do that. Alice. Anyway, they've got a great sound. It's rock and roll, of course. I might have to access the Squire, the search. Well, you listen to ATOV, a team of voices. We're a writing site that invaded the Blog Talk universe, and we have shows most every night of the week, different hosts, different themes. But it's all about writing, and we express and appreciate all kinds of writing, short story, song lyrics, poetry mainly. And anybody that wrote songs, wrote lyrics to songs, was a poet, even the headbangers. Okay, let's read it past it. Alice, Cooper. There it is. All right, guys. We're going to do this and then out the door. This is Shinedown from Florida singing Alice.
If I had a world of my own, everything would be nonsense. Nothing would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't.
I invite you to a world where there is no such thing as time, and every creature lends themselves to change your state of mind. And the girl that chased the rabbit, drank the wine and took the pill, has locked herself in limbo to see how it truly feels.
voice. You see?
Alice, although she's dreaming, she's unlocked the meaning for you. Just shine down. You listen. Please listen to the Man Cave. I'm Jay Hatter from teamofvoices.com. For more poetry.com, Team of Voices, we're a group inside. It's free to join. Poetry.com, come visit, find us, we'll let you in. Everybody have a good night. I'm Jay Hatter. Next time.